asleep in death. Lest my enemies say I have overcome him. Lest my friends rejoice when they see me fall. O Lord, I trust in your merciful love. My heart will rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, who has been bountiful with me. As for me, I trust in your merciful love. Let my heart rejoice in your salvation. O Lord, I trust in your merciful love. My heart will rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the
morning, everyone. Good morning. Please stand. We come together to celebrate the seventh Sunday of ordinary time. We come to the group involved in one another.
Nice to see you. Nice to see you.
Our opening song is number 575, Sing a New Song, number 575.
Nice, I can't get nice to this guy.
Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and
you, my brothers and sisters, who pray for me to the Lord our God.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us one day to the life everlasting.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Recite all together the Gloria. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of good will.
We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you. We give you thanks for your great glory. Lord God, heavenly King, O God, almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Let us pray. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that always pondering spiritual things, we may carry out in both word and deed that which is pleasing to you. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Consider not. See, I am doing something new. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? In the desert, I make a way. In the wasteland, rivers. The people I form for myself, that they might announce my praise. Yet you did not call upon me, O Jacob, for you grew weary of me, O Israel. You burdened me with your sins and wearied me with your crimes. It is I who wipe out for my own sake your offenses. Your sins I remember no more. The word of the Lord.
Take away all his ailment when he is ill.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was proclaimed to you by us, Silvanus and Timothy and me, was not yes and no, but yes has been in him. For however many are the promises of God, their yes is in him. Therefore, the amen from us also goes through him to God for glory. But the one who gives us security with you in Christ and who has anointed us is God. He has also put his seal upon us and given the Spirit in our hearts as the first installment. The word of the Lord.
Known that he was at home. Many gathered together so that there was no room for them, not even around the door, and he preached the word to them. They came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Unable to get near Jesus because of the crowd, they opened up the roof above him. After they had broken through, they let down the mat on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Child, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there asking themselves, "Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who but God alone can forgive sins?" Jesus immediately knew in his mind what they were thinking to themselves, so he said, "Why are you thinking such things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, pick up your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins on earth," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your mat and go home." He rose, picked up his mat at once, and went away in the sight of everyone. They were all astonished. He glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The Gospel of the Lord.
Blessed this morning, we have some visitors here with us. I'd be mad that I introduced them, but I'm going to introduce them anyways. I have some relatives here, and a friend of mine is here. First, a friend of mine from, he's the police chief in Algonac. So, Rich, if you just want to, Mr. Rich Trumbull. Excuse me. I have some other relatives that are here with me today. one that's in the service. So I want to thank him for his service to our country. His name is Trevor. He's here with his fiancée, Christine. He's here with his parents, Suzanne, and my cousin, Ted. Ted is a retired state police officer. He used to do the polygraph examining. So I promise today I will give a very good homily. And I'm not lying. Actually, speaking of telling the truth, Ted, I prepared very diligently yesterday for my homily, and it was going to be a wonderful homily. In fact, the title of it was going to be about Jeremy Lin. It was going to be about Lin's sanity. So you guys have all heard about this Jeremy Lin, and all the God now about the basketball player from New York, Asian guy, Harvard graduate, and he's a wonderful basketball player, saying he's better than Michael Jordan. But actually, I realized this morning as I was brushing my teeth, I said, I prepared the wrong gospel reading. So at 6:30 this morning, I said, uh-oh. So what I'm going to say to you, you're not getting the Lin Sanity homily, that'll be for the future, that if the homily is good, then you can congratulate me, but if it's bad, you blame the deacon. Now the deacon said, because he was at 8 o'clock mass this morning when I blamed him, he said, you can't blame me for 11 o'clock. I said, you're right, I must adjust, because here we have a perfect scapegoat at 11 o'clock mass. My homily's not good, you know who to blame? The ushers. For Sunday after Sunday, we listen to the gospel readings, and sometimes larger parishes, but even smaller parishes, you can't help but hear the gospel sometimes from a distance. Probably because historically, and also just the time frame in which the Gospels were written, sometimes there's a distance that's created in time, space, history. So today, I want to propose perhaps a way in which we can listen to the Gospel reading and maybe place ourselves within the Gospel story. As you know, the Gospel was from St. Mark's homily, St. Mark's Gospel, excuse me. I heard St. John's Gospel, that's all I made a mistake. But St. Mark, more than every other evangelist, liked to present things in a crowd kind of scene. He liked very intense dramas. And today he has several sets of characters. You've got the crowd, you've got the scribes, you've got the sick man and his four friends, and you've got Christ himself. So it's set up sort of in a confrontation style, kind of like an Alfred Hitchcock movie. And I want you to place yourself as each character in the story. Let's see what it might mean to you then. First, the crowd. Are you a part of the crowd? The in crowd or the not so in crowd? Now, the four men were unable to reach Jesus because of the crowd. Therefore, then they had to go up to the thatched roof and bring him in. The crowd, in a real way, was an obstacle. So, when we see ourselves as part of a crowd, are we the crowd around Jesus on occasion? Are we an obstacle to other people, preventing them from seeing our Lord in us? In other words, is there anything in our life, the way we're witnessing our life, living our life, our actions, our deeds, our words, that prevent others from seeing Jesus Christ? The scribes. The scribes were rigid people who insisted on obedience to the law. We've got law enforcement people here today, so that's a good thing. We don't want to say you shouldn't obey the law, but they forgot one very important thing, particularly the scribes and the Pharisees, but the scribes in this story, that the law is set up to serve people, not the other way around. In other words, laws flow from persons. So what comes first always is the person. That's why they didn't like Jesus performing a miracle on the Sabbath, healing the man. Jesus says to them, look, guys, the Sabbath was made for people, not people for the Sabbath. That's why St. Paul is very clear to us that we are to live by the Spirit, not the letter of the law. The letter of the law, in fact, St. Paul says, will kill us. It is the Spirit that saves, the Spirit of the law. The scribes, ironically, in this story, are truly, really the ones who are paralyzed, more so than the man, not the cot. He couldn't get past their rigid attitudes. Therefore, then, they too were an obstacle to Jesus. Can we be like the scribes? Do we bend at times when bending is necessary? Or are we right and so self-righteous in our righteousness that we're never going to be wrong, we're never going to give up an inch? In fact, well, just as an aside here, when we were preparing men at the seminary, one of the things we were working on was teaching them to be prudential, prudence, looking at the virtues. And, you know, I tend to like politics, and I will argue about politics, and sometimes I will argue to the point that I'm not going to give in an inch. I'm going to make my point, you're going to listen to my point, and you're going to get it no matter what. And I remember Dr. Rausch saying to us, when we had our meeting, the priest at the seminary, he said, do you love the argument more than you love the person? You love the person means you are being prudent and showing virtue. You show prudence, stick to our guns. The sick man and his friends. Everyone here can, of course, identify with sick person. We've all been sick, or we'll soon be sick if we've never been sick. It would be rare for any of us here at some point in our lives not to have been spent in the hospital. Do we identify with friends who are ill? Do we avoid and shun them? Are you a friend to the sick? Not necessarily just physically, but emotionally. Those who are distant, lost, forgotten. Family, friends. Jesus himself. If there's any habit we should have, it should be a habit of following our Lord. Doing what our Lord told us to do. Loving God and loving others. Trying to put that practice into teaching. Then when we do that, our habit will be putting Christ at the center of our lives. So when others see us, they won't see an obstacle. They will see Jesus himself. So when we listen to today's gospel story from a distance, in some ways, from afar, it is possible to identify and to bring into reality the very gospel into our own lives. In other words, the gospel just isn't out here. It's an interior thing. When we succeed at that task, then we show the world right where the gospel belongs in each of our lives. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible.
I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only God, the Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the Holy Spirit, was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken to the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church, and I confess my baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Hearts filled with confident faith, we now present our needs and our petitions to the Lord.
for the church, that we may be faithful friends and bring others to Christ. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For peace, that all people of goodwill strive for peaceful resolution of conflicts and to promote the dignity and welfare of each person. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who are homebound, that this community may reach out to them, sustain them with love and prayer, and help them with their needs. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the grace of faith that we may enter into greater trusting reliance upon God in every situation in life, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For members of the military, that God will keep them safe and bring them home soon, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the sick, that they may know the renewing and comforting touch of God, especially Paul, Moriel, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the deceased, especially Julian Dick Cloped, that they may joyfully enter eternal life, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For these and the intentions we hold in the silence of our hearts. Pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Gracious and loving God, we present to you all these needs, the needs that rest quiet in our hearts, because we know that you hear and answer them in your Son Jesus, who is Lord forever and ever.
Amen.
Let us sing number 610, We Are Many Parts, number 610.
Thank you.
brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and good of all his holy church.
As we celebrate your mysteries, O Lord, with the observance that is your due, we humbly ask you that what we offer to the honor of your majesty may profit us for salvation through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts and lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For you so loved the world that in your mercy you sent us the Redeemer to live like us in all things but sin, so that you might love in us what you loved in your Son, by whose obedience we have been restored to those gifts of yours that by sinning we had lost in disobedience. And so, Lord, with all the angels and saints, we too give you thanks as an exaltation we acclaim. Sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come again, until you come again.
Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world, and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Benedict our Pope and Alan our Archbishop and all the clergy. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with the blessed apostles and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Amen.
In our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, we live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other a sign of peace.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Thank you.
Wednesday schedule, please see the lantern. This Friday, we will begin to have the Stations of the Cross for Lent. They will be at St. Thecla at 1 p.m. and at St. Claude's Chapel at 7 p.m. Lanterns, little book, blue, black book for adults, and the purple book are for the children in the vestibule at the church, at the entrance of the church. All donations benefit St. Vincent de Paul Society. The Easter egg baskets for Lent is in the gathering area. Please take an egg to assist someone in need. Next week they'll be in our vestibule. Next weekend there will be a second collection to benefit the church in Central and Eastern Europe. Envelopes are in the pew to use for your convenience. Girl Scout cookies are selling cookies today in the vestibule also. Please buy some. There are also white poinsettias if you would like to take them. Yours for the taking. That's it.
Tuesday, if you have extra palms, there's some here too deep. I see around them. We're going to have just a little prayer service and a burning of the palms, last year's palms, Tuesday night at 7 o'clock at St. Thecla. So if you have your palms and you want to come and bring them, we're going to say a prayer and burn the palms, and we'll use those palms. Okay, Sophia, I'll be done in a second. We'll burn those palms that will be used for Ash Wednesday. Let us pray. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that we may experience the effects of the salvation which is pledged to us by these mysteries through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Bow down for the blessing.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Go and announce the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As we are sent forth, let us sing number 570. Sing of the Lord's good goodness, 570.
Thank you.
Sing of the Lord's goodness, Father of all wisdom, come to him and bless his name. Mercy God has showed us, his love is forever, faithful to the end of days. From that all you nations sing of the Lord's goodness, Lord is our praise and thanks to God. Give out the Lord's glory, praise him with your music, worship him and bless his name. Power he has wielded, honor is his garment, risen from the snares of doubt. His word he has spoken, warm bread he has broken, whose life he now gives to all. Come then, all you nations, sing out the Lord's goodness, melodies of praise and thanks to God. Bring out the Lord's glory, praise him with your music, worship him and bless his name. Courage in our darkness, comfort in our
Let's go. Maybe I'll put some gum on there.
Hello.
Oh,
Yolanda.